And these are all right. And can I just add that this is how I see the sanctuary. This is why I love the sanctuary. The main purpose of the sanctuary is so God can dwell with us. It's so God can dwell with us. I want us to picture that, okay? God does not just want to dwell with us on Sabbath, right? He wants to dwell with us every single day. From the time you wake up, like William was saying, from the time you sleep, and even into your sleep. Okay, so the sanctuary is a journey, right? And the main purpose of the sanctuary was so that God can dwell with us. And God, the reason why I believe the sanctuary was instituted is because God wanted something in place that could bring us back to that Edenic relationship, right? Because in Eden, we didn't have to like have these ceremonies and things like that. God and Adam were homies. They were boys, right? Adam woke up in the middle of the day and he's like, "What's up, God? How you doing?" Boom, fist bump, all that stuff, right? So Adam had direct access to God. And he could just talk to him, and he can hug him. He can do all that stuff with God, right? And so for me, that's what the main purpose of the sanctuary is. And so we see when, after Adam had fell, right, the sanctuary was put into place, and you see God taking the Israelites and the people and his people through a journey, okay? And I imagine that God treated the Israelites like children, because as children, we don't know everything, right off the bat. So we need our parents to kind of teach us things and show us things, right? Even as adults, we don't know everything, all right? Let's be honest. I don't know everything as an adult. And as I grow older, the more and more I learn, the more and more I recognize I don't know, okay? So I hope that's where you are at too as an adult, because if you're not, then maybe you're closed off to learning more. And I hope that's not the case. But so anyways, the sanctuary, right? God took them on a journey of the sanctuary of teaching them as children, because they didn't understand that. They didn't understand a lot of that stuff, right? So they had like the tent, right? And they had all the emblems inside the tent, right? And then they went to the temple. God built them a temple, right? And then Jesus came along. And what did Jesus do to the temple? What did he do to the temple? He what? Cleansed it. What else did he do? Sanctified it. The physical temple, what did he do? What happened to the physical temple? He destroyed it. It was torn apart, right? So for me, what that meant is you don't have torn apart because now Jesus died. We have that direct Edenic access like Adam and Eve did, right? And so what I love about the sanctuary is that God was taking them through a journey. And when Jesus showed up, he's like, "Hey, someone greater than the temple is here." And so what Jesus was doing, cleansing it, right? He was doing all that stuff. Now Jesus is like, so the temple, don't think of the temple as a physical place anymore. You know why? Because you are the temple now. You are living, walking temples. Amen. Yeah, amen, right? God wants to live in you. Remember at the beginning, we said the purpose of the sanctuary is like so God can dwell with us. God doesn't want to dwell outside of you. He wants to dwell in your hearts. He wants to dwell in your minds. Okay? So the sanctuary is so awesome because it reveals the process of sanctification, right? And that sanctification process should be happening on a daily basis. When God is dwelling in us, when God is working in us, that sanctification process should be happening every single day. And that's why, to me, the sanctuary is so powerful, because God wants to dwell in you. He wants to dwell in me. I am a temple. Every place that I walk, every place that I set my foot is going to be holy because God dwells in me. Right? So holiness, in addition to what William was saying, is the character of God. And if the character of God is dwelling in you, that's what makes you holy, right? And it doesn't start on Sabbath. It actually starts when we leave this place during the week, right? Waking up, what are we doing throughout the day? Okay, so that's the sanctuary. That's what I love about the sanctuary. And this past week, we studied about the second coming of Jesus, right? Amen. How many of you just are excited that Jesus is coming? And some of us are so excited, it can't come soon enough, right? Because we see our world, we see what's happening, and things are going crazy, right? But however, the amazing thing is that this generation, our generation, and why we are still alive here on earth is because God has set us apart to be alive in this generation, right? The apostles weren't able to see this. They wanted to see the second coming of Jesus, but God was like, no. Like, this generation that's going to live in this space, in this time, that's the generation I choose to be a part of that, right? So Jesus is going to come. And so what for me, the meaning of Jesus coming is that it's not in the distance. It can happen anytime. Because if I die, I pass away, the next thing I'm going to see is Jesus coming, right? So Jesus isn't this some distant thing. Jesus, I should live each and every day as if Jesus were to come at this moment. And I question if we actually had that idea, that mindset, how different would our lives be? And I'm speaking for myself, because to be honest, I don't think that way every single day. I wish I did. I want to start thinking that way. And so how different would our lives be if we actually lived like that? Right? And that's one of the things we also been studying this past week. And today, oh man, today I love what we're going to talk about today, because the Sabbath is something that I have been learning and growing, because some of you may know, but I haven't always been a Christian, right? I grew up not going to church and not in a necessarily Christian home. My parents were awesome. Like, I believe they raised me with Christian values, even though they didn't recognize it. But I didn't grow up learning about the Sabbath. I didn't know what Sabbath was, you know? So on Saturday, I would watch cartoons, all that stuff, right? And not even knowing, like, what I would do or what to do, right? So when I was 21 years old, that's when I became a Christian. And I remember the beginning of my journey of the Sabbath and learning about the Sabbath, learning how to observe it, learning like what the Sabbath is about. And I remember this one time where I was playing a video game, a PlayStation, on the Sabbath, and I was playing this game called God of War. It's not a very good game, and I know it's not. It doesn't sound like one, so it's not really. But I remember playing the video game, right? And so I remember my dad coming in. He's like, "Son." And he sat down, and he was very, very nice about it. He was like, "I don't think this is something that you should be doing on the Sabbath." And I was like, "Okay." And I was like, "Well, why, Dad?" He's like, "Well, because this, this, and this." I was like, "Okay." You know, I was mature enough, and I was, my heart was open enough to hear and to understand what my dad was trying to say. And so I put the game away. I was like, "Okay, like, you know, my dad's trying to teach me something, and he's trying to teach me how to, like, observe the Sabbath, right?" So what happened? What do you think happened after I put the video game away? What do you think I did? What's that? I slept. Yeah. I took a nap because I didn't know what else to do, right? But since then, my journey with the Sabbath has been growing. And I hope that's where we are at all times, is that our journey with Sabbath is a growing journey. Because, like I said, we should never come to a place where we think and we know everything about something. I hope there isn't anybody in here that thinks they know everything they should about the Sabbath, because we're going to be learning about the Sabbath and Jesus for eternity, right? So the Sabbath was an awesome day. It's I love it. And so my experience in growing up it's been growing. You know, and can I say that first becoming a Christian, going to Christian school, I went to PUC, that's where I graduated from, I started to hear things from students and how they grew up and observing the Sabbath, right? So I started to hear things like, "Yeah, man, we can't watch TV on the Sabbath, we can't go swimming on the Sabbath, we can't do this on the Sabbath, we can't ride bikes on the Sabbath, some of us, we can't even travel on the Sabbath." So I'm like, man, like, I was wrestling with that. You know, I was like, "Well, where does it say in the Bible that you can't do that stuff?" And please, like, don't confuse what I'm saying. I'm not trying to say, like, we can do everything on the Sabbath. None of that stuff. What I'm trying to say is that we should really seek how to observe it from Scripture and from the life of Jesus. And that so that's what I'm trying. But these are the things that I would hear. Right, so I would always question, it's like, man, like, what does it say in the Bible? Like, what can we do on the Sabbath? You know, so it started to become what I could and couldn't do, mostly what I can't do, right? And I know how many of that is your experience growing up. It's okay to raise your hand. So maybe some of you guys were taught that growing up, like, hey, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong or anything, but I just, you know, if that was your experience, what we're going to study in Scripture, it's going to be awesome. And I hope that what I want it to be about is not what we're not doing, but actually what we should be doing. And so for me, that's what I've grown to learn, is like, Sabbath isn't about what I don't do, it's about what I should be doing. And so this is kind of what we're going to be wrestling with today. And if that's been your experience, then I really hope that we can have an open mind and an open heart about what we are going to study today. And the topic, the theme for today is, let love rule the day. Okay, can we say that together? Let love rule the day. Because, and like I said before, to be honest, like there's a lot of rules that we have on the Sabbath, right? And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but can I say the best rule that we should have on Sabbath is for love to rule the day? That's something I want us to walk away from after we walk away from this. Okay, so there's that tension that I was happening with me when I was first started coming into school, the church school, is that I can't do this, I can't do that, right? And so one thing I want us to do is that we're going to look at Scripture now to teach us how Jesus observed the Sabbath, because that is our greatest example. Amen. So with that being said, why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into it. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. And God, I just want to pray that I will decrease and that you will increase in me. And I pray, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing and acceptable to you, God. Be with our hearts now. Keep us awake. Keep us tuned in to what your Spirit is going to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so I'm going to be reading from Matthew 12, okay? Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at two stories very quickly, all right? Two stories, Matthew chapter 12. We're first going to start off in verses 1 through 8, all right? Matthew, what chapter? 12. What verses? 1 through 8. Okay, awesome. So Matthew chapter 12, 1 through 8, okay? And it says this, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat it. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Okay, so let's put some context behind this. All right, and so can I just mention, by the way, that when you look at the Pharisees, they're like TMZ. How many of you guys know what TMZ is? TMZ? No, okay, so some of you that don't know what TMZ is, it's like a news group, but they want like more like gossip, right? So TMZ, they go around, they wait at the airports, they wait for celebrities to come out, and then all of a sudden, before they get into the car, they like put the camera up to their face and they ask them like a really, really like hard question, because they want to trip them up into saying something so that they can use it against them and put it out in the news, right? So that's what TMZ is, okay? So the Pharisees are like TMZ. All right, they're like stalking Jesus, and they just want to watch him to trip him up to see if he's breaking some law somehow, some way. All right, now we even have those people in church. That's true. Honestly, some people are actually looking for you to mess up or to do something wrong so that they can put you on blast about it. And can I say that that's the wrong kind of spirit to approach Jesus and to approach Christianity and to approach a person or the body of Christ? Can I just be honest about that? Right? So the Pharisees are like Team Z, and there's two kind of people that we can relate to in this story, right? We can either relate to Jesus or we can relate to the Pharisees. And I really want us to search our hearts, because for me, I want to err on the side of Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. But sometimes, to be honest, I could be a Pharisee. And I don't want to be that way. Okay, so Jesus and his disciples are out in the field, right? And the Pharisees had 39 extra laws of what you could not do on the Sabbath, to kind of protect the Sabbath, right? So one of the laws was you couldn't go and harvest on the Sabbath day, because what was harvesting? It was working, right? And so, but the cool thing is that in Leviticus, it talks about how the outskirts of the harvest field were not picked so that the homeless people could come and take it and eat it. Isn't that awesome? Man, God is just so amazing. Okay, so the Pharisees want to catch Jesus in this act, right? They had these extra laws. There's other laws too where you can only take your bed so long and you had to drop it there. And then you could pick it up again and drop it there, right? They had these so many laws that were very restrictive, and they were actually making it a burden for people back then. And I imagine what other people, how they viewed the Sabbath back then, right? The Pharisees had these laws. The Pharisees had that law. It's like, man, how does God want me to live the Sabbath? Right? Because those were supposed to be the people that were to bring Jesus, the people closer to God. Right? But then they were creating all this tension, these burdens for them. And I wonder if we do that to other people. I wonder if we do that to people new that are coming in. And I wonder if we do that to people that have come and that have actually left because of stuff like that. Right? So they come in, they're plucking the harvest, right? The grain. And then the Pharisees say, like, hey, Jesus, your disciples aren't doing what is lawful to do on the Sabbath. And this is where Jesus takes us. He says, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place, there is one greater than the temple. Can we say it together? There is one greater than the temple. And so, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. So, and I love what Jesus says, because he brings out two stories, right? One of the stories he brings out is found in 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 6. And this is when David and his men are hungry, right? And they go to the temple and they get the showbread and they eat it. Now, what happened was that the temple leaders, what are they called? The priests, thank you. The priests would change out the showbread, right? So David ate the old bread that had just been taken out. But that wasn't lawful to do. Why did Jesus say it was okay for David to do that? What do you guys think? He was hungry, right? He was hungry. So simply, Jesus is saying human need is something that's very important on the Sabbath. Human need. Now, there are a lot of people that need something in this world, right? And there's a lot of people in our community that need something. There are widows that need help financially with food, right? There's homeless people that need help, obviously, with certain things, right? Even us in here, we need help with something. So Jesus was saying, hey, if you're going to condemn me, then you also have to condemn David too, because he did something that wasn't lawful on the Sabbath. And then Jesus goes into this next story, right? And so Jesus was not condoning disobedience to God's law. Instead, Jesus was emphasizing discernment and compassion in enforcing the laws. Amen? Jesus was emphasizing discernment and compassion when enforcing the laws. And so Jesus goes into another story. And so he's saying that, where is it? I'm sorry. Or have you not read the law on the Sabbath that the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? So the priests do all their priestly duties on Sabbath, right? And that is considered working. But why does Jesus say that they are considered blameless? Because they're working for God. Yeah, they're serving, right? They're serving people. And so Jesus brings up these powerful points in Scripture in the Old Testament that hey, David went in here and ate the showbread. That wasn't lawful to do, right? The priests are working on the Sabbath, but then they're blameless. And so Jesus is really trying to get us to think a little bit more about what the Sabbath is truly about. And it's interesting because the Pharisees were so concerned about religious rituals that they missed the whole purpose of the temple. What do you think the purpose of the temple was, aside from what everything else that we talked about? The purpose of the temple. Obviously, God wants to dwell with people, right? But what was one of the other reasons the service of the temple was for? Jesus. Take away sin. What about bring people to God? Right? Bring people to God. Aside from God dwelling with us, the temple was supposed to be to bring people to God. Now I'm asking this question. Is this a place, English Oaks, where we are bringing people to God? Should be, right? I'm going to ask that again. Here at English Oaks, is this a place where we are bringing people to God? And for me, and I'm not saying this isn't, but I want this to be a place that is our number one focus, to bring people to God. Because you know what? If I wasn't brought to God, I don't know where my life would be right now. I don't even know if I would be with my wife right now, Kat, because I don't know where my life would be, to be honest. So there are people out there, honestly, searching for God. They want to know him. But is that our passion? Is that our desire to bring people to God? And I'm not trying to dismiss the Seventh-day Adventist culture and religion. It's not about making people Adventist. It's about making people followers of Jesus. And because I've said this before, I believe with all my heart, when I get in the judgment, when I'm standing before God, God is not going to ask me, were you good at Seventh-day Adventist? He's going to ask me, did you follow me? And that's it. That's all he's going to ask. Did you follow me? You know what? And if I am following Jesus, I am going to bring people along with me. And if you are following Jesus, you are going to bring people along with you too. So Jesus gives that other example. And then he says, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus was giving those examples because, yes, David probably didn't do what was lawful to do on the Sabbath. And yes, the priests were working on the Sabbath. But there's mercy. God gave mercy to that. And so I've heard stories where people come to church on Sabbath and they get turned away because of how they're dressed. People get turned away because maybe how they smell. Maybe they smell like alcohol. Maybe they smell like cigarettes. People get turned away maybe because they have tattoos, right? I have heard stories about this. And I ask the question, is that showing mercy? No. It's showing judgment, right? And when we come to church on Sabbath, how many of us come with our hearts maybe not always in the right place? But God gives mercy, right? Amen. Yeah. I need mercy every single day when I wake up. And so that is what I want to challenge us with. What does it look like to let where love rules the day? What does it look like where love rules the Sabbath? Not just the Sabbath, but every single day that we live, right? And just real quick, I want to share the next story with us. And just before we go into the next story, there's four things, questions that we can ask ourselves when it comes to having rules or making rules for the Sabbath. These are four questions that we can ask ourselves. When confronted with rules of our own or others making, ask these questions. One, does the rule serve God's purpose? Okay? One question to ask is, does the rule serve God's purpose? Two, is that, does the rule reveal God's character? Okay, so does the rule serve God's purpose? Does it reveal his character? And three, does the rule help people get into God's family or keep them out? Okay, does the rule help bring people into God's family or does it help keep them out? And the fourth one, fourth question to ask, does the rule have biblical roots that can be supported in the context of all of Scripture? Good rules pass all four of these tests. And if you want these rules, I can send them to you. You can come up to me and ask me or email me or something. So just real quick, we're going to go into the next story, and then we're going to get into closing, okay? Now, when in verse 9, it says, now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? Remember, we have TMZ, right? The Pharisees, they're coming to accuse Jesus. They want to trip him up, okay? Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is this man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good. What is it lawful to do? Good on the Sabbath. Then he said to them, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. And Jesus didn't even say, I'm going to heal your hand. He didn't say, your hand is healed. All he said was just stretch it out. Isn't that amazing? He said, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Have mercy. So we have this story, right, where Jesus goes into the temple, into a place where God was supposed, where people are supposed to be brought to God, and there's this man with a withered hand. Who knows how long his hand was withered, right? And so the Pharisees ask him this question, like, hey, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And which was another rule, by the way, that the Pharisees had. The Pharisees had a rule stating that only somebody could be healed or taken care of if it was a life or death situation. Now imagine if that happened to you. How many of us take Advil or maybe DayQuil when we're sick? Imagine if we had a rule on the Sabbath saying, hey, you can't take none of that stuff. Only if you're going to be dying, then you could take something to make you feel better. Man, that would be tough, right? I don't know. I'm a little baby. I don't like feeling pain. I don't know about you guys, but yeah. So that would be tough. So Jesus is confronted with this, should I heal, to heal or not to heal, right? That is the question. And so he simply says to the man, like, he simply says to the Pharisees, like, what's lawful? Is it, I mean, you guys, when you are, and that was a issue, by the way, in the church then, should I take out my donkey if it's stuck in a pit, or should I not? And Jesus, by the way, Jesus doesn't say that's wrong to do. He doesn't say that. Right, he says that you guys do this, but then I can't heal this man's hand on the Sabbath. Right, so he says the Sabbath is about doing good. Just do good. And can I say that when we are doing good on the Sabbath, we won't have to worry about what we shouldn't be doing, because we're going to be doing good. Right, and that's something that I've learned. It's not about what I don't do. Like, what should I be doing? How can I build community on the Sabbath? How can I connect with people on the Sabbath? How can I go out and serve my community? How can I come to church and serve people in this community, right? When I'm focused on what I should be doing and living how Jesus should be living, all that stuff that I shouldn't be doing, it's not going to matter, because you are going to be doing what Jesus wants us to do. When love rules the day, we won't live in fear of how to live on the Sabbath. So what is at the heart as we are about to close? What is at the heart of all that we just read and studied? What were the Pharisees concerned with the most? What were the Pharisees concerned with the most? What is at the heart of all this? What do you guys think? Fear, okay? I heard legalism, rituals, right? What else? Self-righteousness. Yeah. At the heart of everything the Pharisees were doing was self-righteousness. And so I want us to really search our hearts. Does the way I keep the Sabbath, the way I observe the Sabbath, is it more out of fear? Is it more out of self-righteousness? Or is it more because I really want to follow Jesus? And can I suggest that staying at home all day, sleeping, taking naps, and reading and praying the Bible is not necessarily a bad thing, but what would Jesus do on the Sabbath? What does Jesus do on the Sabbath? He healed people. He went to the synagogue. He spent time with sinners. He hung out with his disciples, right? Jesus didn't go home and just take naps. And I'm not saying that's bad, because sometimes we need to recharge, right? The Sabbath is made for rest. We need to do that. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. And sometimes we need to tone it down a little bit during the week so that we could have an actual restful Sabbath. Amen? Man, all you should have been saying amen. I wanted to, you know. So Jesus went out. He healed. He spent time with sinners. He spent time with his disciples. He built community. He met the needs of people. Jesus was a walking, living temple. Wherever he went, he drew people to him. And people were in the presence of God because he was there, right? You don't have to come to church to experience the presence of God, although this should be the place where you experience it in the most powerful way, amen? So just some closing thoughts. The Pharisees were more concerned about self-righteousness. Right? They needed to be right. They wanted to be righteous. They wanted to look good. They wanted to focus to be on them. Right? So Jesus was saying to them, you are missing the point. Let go of your self-righteousness. Jesus wants us to let go of our self-righteousness and receive the full grace of God and to give it as well. He wants us to receive the full grace of God and to give it as well. Pharisees are full of themselves, okay? Pharisees are full of themselves. Christians are full of Jesus. Pharisees are full of themselves. Christians are full of Jesus. Do not allow rule-keeping to blind you to human need. Do good on the Sabbath. Show mercy. Don't allow rule-keeping to blind us from human need. So what is at stake? What is at stake here? This is Jesus giving us an example. What's at stake? Our eternity. Exactly. Our eternity is at stake. And other, thank you, sister. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Y'all, I'll just close up right now. We could pray. A salvation is at stake, right? Do I work for my salvation? Do I work for my self-righteousness? Because if I am working for my own salvation, I don't need God, right? Fear is driven by self-righteousness because when I am afraid, I want control, right? How many of us want control over everything? Oh, man. Probably should have been a little more hands up. Right? It's okay. That's the human nature. It's fine to be human, right? God knows that. Okay? So how many of us want control over everything? So with a loss of fear, when you fear something, there's that sense of loss of control. And when the Pharisees are being self-righteous because they want to have control over the Sabbath, they want to have control over the rules, right? If I don't do this, then I'm going to be saved, right? Self-righteousness. God wants us to be saved by complete, utter grace, and not self-righteous. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Resting from the work of saving ourselves. They did not see their need for Jesus because they thought they could do it without him. Now, I wonder how many of us in here are doing walking the walk of faith without Jesus because we think that we can do it ourselves. I can't do it. And I love what Paul says. In my weakness, sometimes we're afraid to say that we are weak. And man, I know what person I am without God. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want you people to see that. Besides, you know, I'm a totally different person without God. So How many of us in here just need to let go? Yes, let go and let God. How many of us in here just need to let go? Just rest. Right? Just be. Just be. Let love rule the day. Let love rule your hearts. Let love rule your families. Let love rule your kids. Because your kids are seeing behaviors that you practice on Sabbath as a Christian. And the example you set for your kids, and I'm speaking to myself because I'm an upcoming father in May. Hallelujah. And that baby is fierce, man. It's giving my wife a hard time. But I want my kids to see the love of Jesus in me. I want our young people, our youth, to see the love of Jesus in this church. What are the consequences of not letting go? How does this affect me? How does this affect people around me? My kids, my family, that we just talked about that. The Pharisees lived in fear. They wanted control of the Sabbath day so they could be saved. Right? Fear creates barriers, creates walls, not just with people, but with God as well. Jesus connected with people, and he gave grace. Okay? So in closing, what I want to challenge us with is to let love simply rule the day. Let us live the Sabbath as Jesus did. Okay? Let us live the Sabbath as Jesus did. Let this place be a place where we bring people to God. And as you leave this place, may you be a magnet for the love of Jesus. So that wherever you go, people will be drawn to you and you'll be bringing people along with you. Let love rule the day. Jesus desired mercy, and he desired the good of people on the Sabbath. It's simple. Sometimes we make it so hard. Most of the times we make it so hard. All right? Let love rule the day. That is my prayer for us today, church family. And I really hope and pray that as we leave this place, we will leave it desiring to let love rule the day, not just on Sabbath, but every single day, and to let Jesus rule our hearts. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so thankful to you, God. We are so thankful for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. And most importantly, we are so thankful for Jesus. Man, I love Jesus. He's so awesome, and I want people to know him too. God, may we be a place where people are brought to you, but not just in this building, Father, but as we leave this place, may we just let go. May we rest, and may we just be in your presence, Father. May we dwell with you. May you give peace to our hearts, Father. May we not seek control. May we not live the Sabbath or our lives out of fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. And God, I want this to be a place where our relationships with you are thriving, our relationships with each other are thriving, our relationships in our young people are thriving with you, God. May we live the Sabbath as Jesus lived it. That is to seek the good of people, to heal people, to spend time with sinners, to spend time with the disciples, with our families, with our friends, to just commune, to eat, to laugh, to just enjoy the creation that you have made. Not just us, Father, but your creation out there as well. We love you, God, so much. We thank you so much for hearing and for answering this prayer today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Tell them to love on each other.
Yeah, go love on each other and other people. What's up, dude? How you doing, man? Good to see you.